Welcome to this message from Rinton and Lynch Chapels for the 29th of August 2021. Now, these messages, separate from the recorded services, were started in response to the COVID crisis and churches having to close. Now we pray that all aspects of church life will return to somewhere near normal fairly soon. And as part of that, these messages now will cease. This is the last one. Instead, each chapel will record services wherever possible. So bless you for listening. And let's go out today by thinking about hospitality. Can you think of a film where people are eating together around a table? And normally it's a big family, isn't it? Perhaps with lots of friends. And there may be a great sense of togetherness. Of course, Hollywood loves to show conflict as well. But does eating round a table bring back memories for you? When you were little, especially for Sunday lunch, did you sit around a dinner table together? Does anyone do that anymore? Sunday lunch. It's hospitality. I've known people with a gift of hospitality and of evangelism. They went hand in hand because they used Sunday lunch as a chance to invite people. They would go to church on Sunday and look to see whom they might help by inviting them to a meal after the service, especially single people who might feel lonely. Isn't that great? You know, many young people, particularly students, need a good meal, better than just a tin of baked beans, and need to be with a family. They often make friends for life that way. And to me, that's a vision of the church, the kingdom, that we should grapple with. People willing to extend the table, to share the meal, to see who might need to be included and welcomed. I love this quote from the Christian writer Rachel Evans. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at the table, not because they are rich, worthy or good, but because they are hungry, because they said yes, and there's always room for more. Now that's the image of the kingdom, I suggest. A table where everyone is welcome, always with room for more. We see that in Acts 10. It's an important account in the life of the early church. A truth being realised and experienced for the early church to grab hold of the idea that the table was to be even larger and everyone would be welcome. And one reason we know this was important to the early church is the amount of space this account is given. I mean, think about it, in 28 chapters of Acts, almost two chapters are devoted to this story. So we should pay attention. Today we're going to read three chunks. So start by pausing this message and reading Acts 10 verses 1 to 8. Acts 10 verses 1 to 8. Okay, now back to verse 1. It says, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. So from the start, the Jewish Christian listeners and readers would sit up and listen closely. Why? Because Caesarea was the Roman capital of Israel at this time. The Romans were oppressors, invaders, and Caesarea was the local centre for Roman military might, a symbol of oppression. And Cornelius was a centurion, a representative of all that oppression. And if we listen to this as a first century Christian, we would be challenged and uncomfortable. This is scandalous. So we'd listen to verses 2 to 6. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. We go, ah. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. And we go, really? And one day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. So here is a Roman centurion, a Gentile, and this story starts to set off contrasts. All the wrong things are lined up in terms of assumptions and expectations. Cornelius was clearly searching for God, yet he had obviously not encountered the good news of Jesus. And notice the Spirit of God met him at his search point and said, there's another part of the story I want to share with you. Speak to Peter. He's in Joppa. Now, Joppa is modern day Jaffa. Both Caesarea and Joppa were on the coast, about 30 miles apart. And Cornelius obeys. Okay, now pause this again and read Acts 2, verses 9 to 23. Acts 2, verses 9 to 10, 23. Right, back to verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. Okay, so Cornelius is going to Peter's. And notice first Cornelius was introduced, then not just any apostle, but Peter, the leading apostle in the early church. So God is calling together key people, not just for their sake, but for the church and us to learn. And Peter has his vision on the roof, verse 11, in which a large sheet comes down. And in the sheet were all kinds of animals. Now, to a devout Jew, this is a mingling of clean and unclean, which is not allowed. And already, Peter was probably getting nervous. Three times, Peter is challenged to get up and kill and eat, verse 13. And three times, Peter says, no, I've never done that. I'm an obedient Jew. I follow the law. So what is God trying to teach him? He's saying, you don't understand. Don't call something unclean that I now are making clean. I'm changing my paradigm. I'm expanding your vision. And another thing about this story that we easily miss is that Peter had this interchange three times. Verse 16, this happened three times. And immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Why three times? Well, remember when Peter had three conversations or experiences with Jesus? Before the crucifixion, Peter denied Jesus three times. Then after the resurrection, Peter and some disciples went fishing. Jesus stood on the shore cooking breakfast. What does he do? He asked Peter, do you love me? Three different times. And in each case, he tells Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Now, in this experience, God is saying, I want you to expand the table. You must understand what I'm doing. A new circle, a new aspect of the vision of my church. Verse 17. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. And Peter went down to them. Surprisingly, not only did he welcome them, he invited them in. That in itself was scandalous. Devout Jewish Christians at this time would not have welcomed Gentiles into the house. Verse 23 says they were his guests. That nearly always meant eating together. Wow, eating with Gentiles? Okay, pause this again and read Acts 10, verses 23 to 48. Acts 10, verses 23 to 48. Okay, so the next day, they packed up and went to Cornelius' house. And verse 27 says, Peter, what did he do? He went inside. Now, early Jewish Christians reading this would have had their minds blown. A Jew going inside a Gentile's house? No, you're supposed to stand outside. Shocking. But God's Spirit moved, and Cornelius and his family responded to the good news that Jesus, God in human form, loves them and cares for them and offers them forgiveness and includes them at the table. Verse 45 says, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. And I guess Peter was equally astonished. Then chapter 11, this wonderful news begins to spread, and you can read it another time. But this is Acts 11, verse 1. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. This was momentous. So Peter was called to explain. And chapter 11, verses 2 to 3 say, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. Now Peter was the primary apostle. So no wonder God wanted to use him to influence the standing of the church. And notice what Peter says in chapter 11, verse 17. If God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Wow, common sense. What a marvellous story of expanding the table. And there are several things we can learn or be reminded about here. First one, the church's vision needs to continually expand. We are no good when we stop. Jesus' kingdom welcomes all people to the table. God is doing something new, and Peter had to understand that God's vision was different. It was bigger. The church needed to catch up. And remember, Jesus taught this, but the early church didn't understand. I mean, Jesus met a Samaritan woman. Yes, Samaritans were enemies of the Jews, and a centurion, Romans, enemies of the Jews. And in each case, Jesus modelled the fact that this is a big table. God is doing something new. And number two, God will always challenge our barriers and prejudices. He always will. When we get this vision, some of our ideas about how God works will be shattered. We need to be willing, like Peter, to let those go. Recognize them. Don't discriminate. Don't hesitate. Enter into a wider circle of relationship than ever before. Welcome, everyone. And that's part of our journey with Jesus. And number three, notice the focus on hospitality isn't accidental. The hospitality stroke eating issue was picked up even by the leaders in Jerusalem. Why did they criticize Peter? Not for sharing the good news with Gentiles, but for eating with them. Devout Jewish Christians didn't do that. And this issue of hospitality is significant, and we need to wrestle with it. We need to ask ourselves, am I willing to enter into relationships with others who ask spiritual questions? Maybe those people are so different to me that they might be welcome at the table. What does it mean to offer warm hospitality in my church, in my life, in my home? How can I move beyond simply talking? Coffee, perhaps? Having a meal together? You know, studies show that spending time together in these settings increases both understanding and acceptance, and relationships are started. Something about hospitality really affects people. And then point number four, God prepares. But we need to respond, to go, to share. God always works in partnership. If we stop going, we stop growing. Yes, Peter and Cornelius had wonderful visions, but both of them had to respond to be willing to actually engage. We need to do the same. This account in Acts 10 and 11 should be the vision of our church, expanding the table, welcoming new friends, introducing curious people to Jesus through hospitality. Wouldn't it be wonderful if over the next few years our table kept on expanding? And people, maybe the skeptical who search, feel this is a safe place to ask those questions, to doubt, to struggle. We can be in relationship together. This is the vision that God gives to his church, so that the Corneliuses of this world might have a place. Can we expand the table? Churches are always, you know, at their best when they are prepared to move beyond themselves. And that's the story of Acts 10. Let's see if we can take it to another level. Of course this takes work, it takes money, and of course this means change, but I truly believe that is where God wants to take us. So may you be blessed in your willingness to respond. Amen.